Well, do you believe the Spirit of God is here today? Well, first of all, he's here because we're here and he dwells in us. But there is definitely the manifested, tangible presence of God in this place today. And like you, I want to see what he wants to do. So we've prayed, we've worshiped, and now it's time for the word. Turn with me, please, to John chapter 3. We start all of our teaching sessions with John chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 16 and 17. I'm going to share that out of the King James Bible. I ask that you please read it out loud with me in whichever translation you have. Let's begin. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That is the key reason why we are saved today. It's the only reason why we are saved. And all mankind has the same opportunity, because God so loved that he gave. And he gave his best in the form of his Son, Christ Jesus, to die for all mankind. Well, this really is part two of a lesson that started Wednesday night. And that lesson was called Living Above. I'm not able, because of time, to go through all of the details. I encourage you to listen on the website or get a copy of the CD from Wednesday night. The title is Living Above. But I'm going to recap and highlight some things that we shared on Wednesday in order for you to realize where, or understand and follow where we are today. Turn, please, to Ephesians chapter 1. A week ago, we celebrated Resurrection Day, and we commemorated the death and the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we celebrated that he's raised from the dead. And the scripture tells us that that same resurrection life dwells in us, the church. Ephesians chapter 1, I'm going to share verses 18 through 23 out of the Amplified Bible. Please follow along. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. And I pray that the eyes of your heart, the very center and core of your being, may be enlightened, flooded with light by the Holy Spirit, so that you will know and cherish the hope, the divine guarantee, the confident expectation to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, God's people. And so that you will begin to know what the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his spiritual power is in us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of his mighty strength, which he produced in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. And this is key, picking up in verse 21. Where did God put Jesus? Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, whether angelic or human, and far above every name that is named, above every title that can be conferred, not only in this age and the world, but also in the one that is to come. Verse 22. And he put all things in every realm in subjection under Christ's feet, and appointed him, Jesus, as supreme and authoritative head over all things in the church, which is his body. How many of you are part of Christ's body? Amen. So God put Jesus over all things in the church, which is Christ's body, the fullness of him who fills and completes all things in all believers. Now turn over, please, to Colossians chapter 3, because this was the thrust or the key of where we focused on Wednesday night regarding living above. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified Bible, and it says, "Therefore, if you have been raised with Christ to a new life," how many of us have been raised to a new life in Christ? If you're born again, you've been raised to a new life in Christ. "Sharing in his resurrection from the dead, keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind and keep focused habitually on the things above, the heavenly things, not on things that are on the earth, which only have temporal value. For you died to this world, and your new real life is hidden with Christ in God." The King James Bible says in Colossians verse 2, "Set your affection." That means to strive after, to pursue, to put yourself in line to go towards. The Holy Ghost said, for us to set our affections on things that are above, we have to adjust our thinking. We have to adjust our focus and our priorities and the way that we respond from natural to spiritual with God's purpose and intent in all that we do. So when we say that we're seeking those things that are above and we're setting our affections on those things that are above, we're living a life that we adjust our thinking, our focus, our priorities, and the way we respond from natural sensory level. In this natural level, we see, we touch, we feel, we hear. But we have the Spirit of Christ living within us. We are of the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God operates by a higher standard or principle. 1 John chapter 5, and this is just a quick review. You can listen and just make a note of it. 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 through 5, in the Amplified Bible says, "For everyone born of God is victorious and overcomes the world." That's why we can sing with accuracy and truth, "We are overcomers." "And this is the victory that has conquered and overcome the world, our continuing, persistent faith in Jesus, the Son of God." That's how we got saved. We believed in our heart and we confessed with our mouth. We operate by the principle of faith living above. Verse 5, who is the one who is victorious and overcomes the world? It is the one who believes and recognizes the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. Is that you? That's me. Webster's Dictionary says that to overcome means to defeat something or someone, to gain superiority over. Strong's Concordance says to overcome means to conquer, to carry off in victory. Turn, please, to John chapter 16. John chapter 16 and verses 32 and 33. Again, I'm in the Amplified Bible, and it says, "Take careful notice," this is Jesus speaking, "an hour is coming and has arrived when you will all be scattered, each to his own home, leaving me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." Can you say that? The Father is with you, no matter where we are, no matter what we encounter, because we are in Christ, his Spirit is in us, and no matter what happens, the Father is with us. "I have told you these things, so that in me you may have perfect peace." And this is key. "In the world you have tribulation and distress and suffering." Is that accurate today? But Jesus said, "But be courageous. Be confident, be undaunted, be filled with joy." Why? "I have overcome the world. My conquest is accomplished, my victory abiding." So now we say, but that's Jesus, right? Turn, please, to Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. And I'm continuing in the Amplified Bible. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, worldliness, the manner of life, God made you alive together with Christ, having freely forgiven us all our sins, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of legal demands which were in force against us and which were hostile to us. And this certificate he has set aside and completely removed by nailing it to the cross. That's what Jesus did for us when he went into hell. He paid the price, the ransom, the debt that we owed for being sin nature. Jesus paid it for us. And verse 15, when he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, those supernatural forces of evil operating against us, he made a public example of them, exhibiting them as captives in his triumphal procession, having triumphed over them through the cross. That's where the victory is. Jesus overcame by the cross, and because we came into him, we became overcomers. So now let me ask you some simple questions. Where is Christ? He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Scripture tells us, we just read it, far above all principality, all rule, all authority. Where are we? We have been given authority here in the earth. This is our domain to rule and to reign. God gave us through Adam and he trespassed, but Jesus won it back for us. God gave us the earth as our domain to rule and have authority in. How do we do it? By faith in Christ Jesus, living the victorious life that he died and was raised for us to have. So then, since we are in Christ, and Christ is above in the position of authority and rule, that means we are above, but we've been called to live a higher life. So if you're looking for a message title for today, it's called The Higher Life. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. But God, being so very rich in mercy, and I'm continuing in the Amplified Bible, but God being so very rich in mercy, because of his great and wonderful love with which he loved us, even when we were spiritually dead and separated from him because of our sins, he made us spiritually alive together with Christ. For by his grace, his undeserved favor and mercy, you have been saved from God's judgment. Verse 6. And he raised us up together with him when we believed, and seated us with him in the heavenly places, because we are in Christ Jesus. And he did this so that in the ages to come, he might clearly show the immeasurable and unsurpassed riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus by providing for our redemption. Now, on Wednesday, I shared, and this is just references, Romans chapter 8, verse 37. We sang this morning. Yet in all of these things, we are more than conquerors. And we gain an overwhelming victory through him who loved us so much that he died for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. These are just reference notes. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph, no matter what it is. He's leading us to triumph. And how's he doing it? In Christ. And through us, he spreads and makes evident everywhere the sweet fragrance of the knowledge of him. So now you may ask, okay, I came into Christ. I have his resurrection life living in me. But how do I exactly live this higher life? Turn, please, to John chapter 13. We're going to look at verses 34 and 35. I'm going to start in the Amplified Bible. And it says, I am giving you a new commandment that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, so you too are to love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love and unselfish concern for one another. So remember, we're still more than conquerors, right? All things are working for our good, right? We operate by faith in this kingdom of God. That's the standard of the kingdom, right? But it operates through us by love. Listen to those verses in the Voice translation. So I give you a new command. Love each other deeply and fully. Remember the ways that I have loved you and demonstrate your love for others in those same ways. We could stop right here. Because if we took a moment to think about, since we've been saved, I'm not talking about BC, since we've been saved, I'll put my hand up first. How many of us have missed it? How many of us have failed in some area? Did God withhold your breath? Did God forgive you? Is God still helping you? Is God still blessing you? Is God still walking through you? That's that love. It's a higher life. It's not love that rationalizes whether you deserve it or not. Because if any of us deserved it, none of us would merit it. But we couldn't qualify for the level or the degree of Christ's love. That's who God is. He is love. And we, his body, are the express example or representation of that love here in the earth. We are living out his MO here in the earth. And while we operate by faith, we will see in a moment that our faith is powered, operated, carried out by our love. So if I'm walking around spouting out every scripture verse and I'm telling you what the kingdom is, but I'm not operating in God's love, I'm living a base life. I'm not living above. I'm doing religious works that qualify the appearance of Christianity. We all know what that means, right? But the true higher life is, as Jesus said in John chapter 13, verse 34 in the Voice translation, when we remember the ways that Christ has loved us, we are to demonstrate that level, that quality, that degree of love for others. Everyone, verse 35 says, will know you as my followers if you demonstrate your love to others. Now, I'm going to help somebody because someone probably just said, but that was Jesus. Okay. Romans chapter 5. Verses 5 and 6. Out of the Amplified Bible says, such hope in God's promises never disappoints us, because God's love has been abundantly poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Do you have God's love in you? Oh, come on, you heard me. Now, I want you to say this in faith, not thinking about how you may have behaved this morning or last night, or just how you just your life may look right now in the natural. Remember, we live above. We live a higher life according to the standard and the principle of the kingdom of God. It's operating in faith, which is empowered by love. So then, we just read it in Romans. Do you have the love of God in you? That love is the power source that keeps your faith operating. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6 in the King James Bible says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. According to Strong's, work means to operate by, to put forth the power of, to have an effect, to display the activity of. Listen to that same verse in the Amplified Bible. For if we are in Christ, and we are in Christ, right? Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but only faith, which is activated and expressed and working through our love. We are expected to love like God because he's given us the ability to do it through Christ Jesus. One of the things that God often does in my life, and I had wondered for years why he taught me this expression, but now I understand it a little better. The Father says to me often, Dolores, you're going to have to do what I do with you. You're going to have to look past and love beyond. That's what God did when he sent Jesus. Mankind did not deserve or merit salvation. We didn't deserve or merit salvation. But God, in his infinite love and mercy, looked past the sin, looked past the fault, looked past the error, looked past the ones he knew are never going to accept his son. And he still sent him anyhow. And he says to us today, as my representatives in the earth, I expect you to do the same thing. Let me show you an example in the scriptures of how Jesus did this. Turn, please, to Luke 22. Luke 22, we're going to read verses 31 through 34. Again, I'm in the Amplified Bible. Jesus is speaking, and he says, Simon, Simon, Peter, listen. Satan has demanded permission to sift all of you like grain, but I have prayed especially for you, Peter, that your faith fail, that your faith and confidence in me may not fail. And once you have turned back again to me, strengthen and support your brothers in the faith. And Peter said to him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. How many of us have had that kind of faith that we just step out there and we're like, Lord, I'm with you. Lord, I'm for you. Lord, I'm going to do this. And then something happens and we go, well, you know my heart, God. You know I love you, Lord. Yes. But listen to Jesus' response. Jesus said, I say to you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will utterly deny three times that you know me. Listen to verse 32 in the Voice translation. It says, but I have prayed for you. I have prayed that your faith will hold firm and that you will recover from your failure and become a source of strength for your brothers here. Jesus was speaking past Peter's failure. He could see the failure, he could see the error, he could see the denial, but he was looking at the Peter who we pick up in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost, preach Jesus' salvation. He was looking at the Peter that when I believe it was Cornelius came to the house, that Peter went with him and the power of God fell in that environment and they were baptized Gentiles in the Holy Ghost. So Jesus looked past the failure and loved beyond. And he says to us, I expect you to do the same thing. Doesn't mean we condone wrong. Don't get this mixed up. Doesn't mean that we say it's okay to sin and to err and to act ugly. No. But we remember the love that God demonstrates for us. And we choose to love like that. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23. The Voice translation says, when he was verbally abused, and this is talking about Jesus, he did not return the abuse. When he suffered, he didn't make threats to cause suffering in return. Instead, he trusted that all would be put right by the one who is just when he judges. So though Jesus came sinless, he committed no sin. He was accused of wrong, He was thrown in prison. He was beaten. He was scourged, and all that the scriptures tell us. He hung on a cross, and they ridiculed him and lied on him and said all kinds of things. And from the cross, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." Jesus is our prototype and our example of how to live in the earth. Jesus is the express representation of God's love for all of mankind. And what do you think God did in his infinite wisdom? He put his love in us. And he said, "Now you go do the same thing." Now, I would dare say, for the most part, at least in this country, I know that in other third world countries, places around the earth, Christians are literally giving their lives physically, being tortured and beaten and imprisoned and being killed for the name of Jesus. But in this country, we here today, did anybody have to go past a barricade of police officers or someone with a cat of nine tails to whip us to come into this church? Did any of us experience any type of opposition that says you cannot declare the name of Jesus in order to get here today? We've been given a liberty to live and proclaim the name of Jesus. And in that is the love for God and the love from God that we will say to the world, "Yes, I will show you a higher life." Operating in the kingdom of God means, as the Holy Ghost said, what does it mean to set our affections and to live above? It means that my way of thinking, my way of responding, my way of handling things is based on God's code, not what makes sense to me, not what's comfortable to me, not what's easy for me, but it's the standard that God says that what? The just shall live by faith. And by faith, our faith is empowered, it's strengthened, it's motorized by the love of God that's in us. Another example, I'll just reference this, in Luke chapter 15, the story of the prodigal son. There's so many key principles of how the Father God looks past and loves beyond in these passages. It starts out in saying, well, I'll pick up in verse 20. The son had already gone out, said, "You know what, Daddy, give me my money. Give me your inheritance that belongs to me. I'm out of here. I want to do my own thing. I'm grown. I know my way. Give it to me now. I want to have fun." Sound familiar? So then we know the scripture says, and he went out and he squandered and he did all kinds of things. And then he came to himself. Oh, thank God. We come to ourselves. And we go, "You know what? It was better when I was home with the father." And in verse 20, I love this. "So he got up and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off." Now, I'm going to give you a visual example. We're here in this sanctuary, in this building, at 145 West Route 59, right? How many of you know where the entrance is to the Palisades Parkway going south on 59? It's at least a mile and a half. So the scripture says that when the son, who was coming back to his father, who had been out squandering his money and doing all kinds of things that didn't line up with the father's teaching, the scripture says while that son was still a long way off, his father saw him. He had to be looking. That's the heart of the father. That's the love of God that goes beyond, that says, "I know what he said. I know what she's done. But I will never give up on her. I will never close my door to him. I may not like their lifestyle, their behavior, their actions, their words, their choices, but I will put my voice on them and decree and declare what God has spoken about them. And I will keep my heart open and love them the way the Father loves me." That's how he saw his son coming back. So then we drop down. And the son says, "Oh, Daddy, 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 I did wrong. And I'm sorry I shouldn't have walked away. I'm sorry I was out there doing stuff I shouldn't have done." And the scripture says, the father didn't respond to him. The father told his servants, "Quickly, bring out the best robe for the guest of honor." He treated his son like he was royalty. "And put it on him and give him a ring for his hand and sandals for his feet. How many of us have had to come back into the presence of God with repentance and God still loved us and God still honored us and God still forgave us and God still provided for us? And in our own, we could say, as the saints of old used to say, I surely didn't do this myself. He's better to me than I've been to myself, but he's loved me beyond my faults, and he sees the purpose of my life, and he says, I still have hope in you. That's the love of God. It's a higher life that goes beyond sensory, that goes beyond feelings, that goes beyond logic and reasoning. Let's drop down a little more on this story. So they have this festival, this feast for the son that's come back home. And his older brother comes back and he hears all the party and he's like, what's up with this? So the servants tell him, oh, your brother's back home and your father killed the fatted calf and, you know, we're having a celebration. And like some of us do, we get our nose out of joint and go, what's up with that? I've been here all along. What about me? What about me? What about me? I love this. The older son refused to come in. But his father came out to him, looking past and loving beyond. The father had every right to say, let that boy stay out there in his immaturity. Let him stay out there in his jealousy. He'll get it. He'll figure it out. But the father, who not only loved his younger son, loved his older son, and came out and pleaded with him and explained why he had to honor his younger son. But I love what he said. Verse 31. The father said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. He didn't defer to give to the younger son to take away from the older son. He had enough to bless the younger son and still do for the older son. So that tells me we don't have place or time in the kingdom of God to give into jealousy or impatience when God is blessing or honoring or promoting someone, because God is big enough. His kingdom is vast enough. He has more than enough riches that he's not forgotten your labor of love. So if it's my sister Catherine's time to be honored and to be blessed, I can celebrate with her. Because it's not going to take one thing from what God has for me. The kingdom of God, the principle of love says, I may be standing here and seeing everybody else blessed and everybody else prospering and everybody else moving on, but I know God's got me. God's not going to forget about me. So I don't have right or opportunity to stand back in scorn or jealousy or envy to say, I've been here longer. I've been doing more. I'm more qualified. I did that. No, the Father sees. The Father knows. The Father rewards. It's his job to do it. Ours is to stay faithful to the course that he's called us to and live this life victoriously through his spirit that's operating in us. And when the body around us is celebrating, we celebrate with them. We praise God for their blessings. We rejoice with their happiness. We don't allow the enemy to throw those thoughts up about, look at that, they God ain't did nothing for you. No, 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 no. That's not the way of the high life. That's a base level. God's standard of love is so much bigger than that. So now, another example. Jesus looking past and loving beyond. Matthew chapter 26. Verses 49 and 50. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified Bible. This is when Jesus was in the garden and he was about to be arrested. Verse 49 starts with, immediately Judas went to Jesus and said, greetings, rejoice, Rabbi. And he kissed him in a deliberate act of betrayal. Verse 50, Jesus said to Judas, friend, I'm laughing because I'm thinking of sometimes in our lives, I'm thinking about my own. That'd be the last word we want to call somebody we know is going to betray us. If anything, we stand in there casting down imaginations. We unclenching our fist. We stepping back like, I'm just going to love you from a distance over here. And we put on that Hollywood smile. And we know how to capture and to pretend. And the Oscar goes to. But Jesus said, friend, do what you came for. In Strong's Concordance, that word friend means comrade. Even though Jesus knew Judas was to betray him, remember, this was Judas that he chose as one of the 12, knew who Judas was, but knew that he had come to fulfill the Father's purpose and will. And because of his love for the Father, a higher love, and his love for all mankind, a higher love, he looked beyond the betrayal of one who was his comrade, his partner, his companion, his associate, and he calls him friend and lets himself be arrested. My God. We're going to wrap this up, and this is where I call it gets a little intense. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Turn there, please. We're talking about the higher life. It's a standard of God's ethics. It's the standard of God's principles. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. I'm going to read that out of the Amplified Bible. But earnestly seek, desire, and strive for the greater gifts, if acquiring them is going to be your goal. And yet I will show you a still more excellent way. One of the choicest graces and the highest of them all, unselfish love. What does that mean, a more excellent way? It means beyond measure. It means preeminent, exceedingly. That's how God loves. Now we know that 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8, we call that the love chapter, right? And we've read it in many, many different translations, and we're going to get to one. But I want to share with you a commentary that I came across in the Voice Translation Bible. Listen to this, thinking, pondering about our own love walk. Paul shifts his focus to the central role that love plays in a believer's life in chapter 13. Love is essential for the body to be unified and for members to work together. Members of the body that are very different, with little in common, are able to appreciate and even enjoy others because of the love that comes when a life is submitted to God. Paul boils it down for the believers in Corinth, and I'll say he boils it down by the Holy Spirit for us here in Nanuet. Religious people often spend their time practicing rituals, projecting dogma, and going through routines that might look like Christianity on the outside, but it lacks the essential ingredient that brings all of us together, love. It is a loving God who birthed creation and now pursues broken people in the most spectacular way. That same love must guide believers so that our faith doesn't appear to be meaningless noise. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 says that if I start out, or forgive me, help me with the first verse of 13, because I only pulled up. That's why I have a Bible in front of me. That's what the word is there for. Pastor Sarah taught us, read your own word. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, as soon as I get there. And it says, the first verse, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass, or a clanging cymbal. So when this commentary says that same love must guide believers so our faith doesn't appear to be meaningless noise. Do you know sometimes when we want to exhibit our faith, when we want to show how spiritual we are, we can sound like meaningless noise? If my faith is not operating by God's love in me, then I've succumbed to promoting my knowledge. I've succumbed to promoting works. But faith operating by love will demonstrate itself in a level and a quality, a degree that ministers to the heart, just doesn't talk to the mind. It goes beyond sensory and it ministers life and help and wisdom and kindness and grace to the heart, to the life that needs to receive that. But when we allow our faith to be operating pure base faith, there ain't no love in there. I can tell you everything I know about my walk in Christ and what I've overcome and what I've done and how much of the scripture I know. But I'm not operating in the love of God. What you will see is a passion of works, or a pattern. Thank you, Holy Spirit. A pattern of works. Because faith that operates by love says, I love you enough to tell you the truth, but not to beat you up to make you think that I am superior to you. Faith that operates by love says, just like God did with Adam and Eve in the garden, I will tell you no because I'm protecting your life. And although the ugly behavior or the response that may come, faith by love, God's standard of love, does not go tit for tat with ugly behavior. The standard of God's love says, I know I want to slap you. And I know I'm speaking to somebody besides myself today. God's love says, though your behavior, though your actions merit something different, I'm loving you because I know what I've called you to be. I'm looking past what I see now, and I'm loving you to where I've created you to go. So when God tells us that that same love has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, are we able to do the same with one another? Do you know that the enemy's greatest device is to bring schism in the body of Christ? Stir up confusion. Bring about, I got an opinion, I don't like what she did, and I'm going to voice it. Really? Proverbs says, wisdom, it's a fool that has no control over their mouths, and I'm paraphrasing it. But a wise man is slow to speak and quick to listen and slow to get angry. When we operate in the love of God, God's standard of love, we'll do a lot less talking when we feel it. We'll speak when we know it. There is a difference. So listen to 1 Corinthians in the Voice translation. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love isn't envious, doesn't boast, brag, or strut about. There is no arrogance in love. It is never rude, crude, or indecent. Love is not self-absorbed. Love isn't easily upset. Love doesn't tally wrongs or celebrate injustice, but truth, yes, truth, is love's delight. Love puts up with anything and everything that comes along. It trusts, hopes, and endures no matter what. Love will never become obsolete. And I'll go to the last verse of that passage, verse 13. But now faith, hope, and love remain. These three virtues must characterize our lives. That's the higher life. Faith, hope, love must characterize the higher life. But the greatest of these is love, and it's God's standard of living the higher life. Last scripture, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Verse 20 in the Amplified Bible says, I have been crucified with Christ. That is, in him, I have shared his crucifixion. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith, by adhering to, relying on, and completely trusting in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. How many of us are living in Christ? How many of us have the Spirit of Christ in us? How many of us have work in living the higher life to do? I've got my hand up too. It's not an indictment. It's not an indictment. That's how big God is, and that's how much he loves us, because he knows what he's called us to. He knows what he's called us to do, and he recognizes tactics and devices that are meant to divide, whether in a family, whether in a job, whether in a marriage, whether in a ministry. He recognizes the enemy's tactics to bring schism and division and confusion. But he's given us the weapon or tool that we need, which is the power source of his love that looks past and loves beyond. So I'm going to say it this way. If there is any relationship area of your life that you know you've not been living the high life, as a matter of fact, everybody close your eyes. Everybody close your eyes. As this is not about a spectator. This is about you, me, and God, and his heart for all of us. And he deals with us individually. So if there's an area, a relationship, whether it's a job, whether it's a ministry, whether it's a marriage, whether it's your home, whatever it is, there's a situation and you know that there's something that keeps pulling you down out of the higher life, living this life in the love the way that God said do it. Capture that thought right there. And then please stand. If there's any way with words that you've been speaking, things you've been meditating on, rehearsing, feelings you've been giving into, behavior you either done or not doing because you just don't like it, and you know, and you know, and you know, and God's dealing with hearts right now, just stand, because he just wants us to be honest enough to say, I can do better. I can live this better. I'm called to a higher life, and I'm going to do this, Father. I need your help. He's not here to beat up anybody. He's here because he loves us, and he knows exactly where we are. He recognizes the enemy's tactic to bring about schism and division and confusion and strife. And he says, I've given you my power and my ability to deal with it. It's called my love. So one more call, because it's really between you and God. It's between me and God. Because I don't know about you, but I don't want God to have to come back to me about this again same time next year. I want to have moved above this. I want to truly live this higher life. I can't stand up here and share it with you, and I'm not willing to do it. Does it take sacrifice? You better believe it. Is it going to take effort? You better believe it. Is it going to take casting down? You better believe it. Because remember, we're called to live above. We're called to seek those things that are above where Christ is. Not our senses, not our feelings, not our emotions, but where Christ is. And our code of ethics is our faith works by love. And so, Father, I stretch my hand towards all of these precious saints who have stood, Lord, in obedience to your prompting. And I say, Father, because I'm standing with them, Lord, help us by your grace to let go of every issue, area of defeat in walking out the higher life in love. That which has been a pull on us, Father, that which has disappointed us, Father, made us angry, caused us to hold back or not go, not say, not give, Lord God, not overlook, but keep dealing with and rehearsing it and holding on to it, Father, we let that go now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we open our hearts to you and say, you've already poured your love in us by your Holy Spirit. Show us how to activate this love, Father. Bring to our remembrance, oh God, when the thoughts or the issues or the person or the situation would come up again. Lord, bring to our remembrance this day where we said, no more. I'm going to live the higher life above where Christ is seated. In Jesus' name, keep standing. And now please repeat this after me. You say your name, Dolores, make a conscious decision and by faith declare, I am no longer bound, I am no longer subject to sensory living. I live by faith, and my faith is empowered by love. I change my thinking, my focus, my priorities, my way of responding to things, to that of spiritual and not of the natural. I choose to love like Christ loves me. I choose to forgive like God forgave me. I choose to look past and love beyond. And from this day forward, I will exercise, promote, and operate in the truly higher quality of Christ's love in me. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thank you for standing with me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The first step or requirement in living above and living a higher life is accepting the one who was raised above for all mankind's sins, and that's Jesus Christ. So today, I'd like to lead everyone in a simple prayer. The Bible tells us in Romans that if we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths that Jesus is the Son of God, that he was raised on the third day for our justification, that we are saved. That's the first step in living the high life. So please join me. Follow me in this.